This is the Shanaki for July 4th, entitled Road Trip. For the Shanaki, I'm Patrick McLean. Alright, this is a very different episode of the Shanaki. I haven't been able to get one out for a while because I've taken a new job and had to move, and that keeps one kind of busy. So I'm sitting here in a hotel room. A few days ago, I went on a little car trip, and I took a portable Edirol R1 recorder with me. And I just decided I was going to tell some stories very naturally, and they happened to be about my friend Dale, who I got to see along the way. So please bear with the car noise. I think it's interesting to have a stream of consciousness one, and very interested to hear what you think.
It's been over a month since I put out a podcast. It seems like an awful long time. But life has been running me a little ragged. I took a job, and I'm driving to my new job right now. I was very busy packing everything up in Charlotte and trying to get on the road. Lots of goodbyes, lots of conversations with good friends. And the thing that I realized, more than I think I ever realized before, is that what binds people together are the stories that they have in common. When you sit down with old friends, you share these stories and you retell them over and over again as a right. So, amid all the pressure of getting out of town, getting things packed up, I arranged to stop off halfway between Charlotte and Pennsylvania, where I'm going, to visit a friend of mine in Virginia that I hadn't had a chance to sit and talk with for, I guess about 2 years. And it was great. Sat out last night around a campfire on the side of a lake and just caught up and told all those old stories that, well, there's a lot of laughter involved anyway. So it made me think that maybe I have been entirely too formal with the podcast, that I've gotten away from what it was at its heart, you know, stories told kind of in a smoky bar or a pub or stuff like that. And so this is the antidote. So I'm just going to drive along and tell a few stories, and a couple of them will make it into the podcast. The first story is about 81. Right now I'm on the Washington and Lee Highway. That's Route 11 for those of you keeping track. I think in Greenville, Virginia. Oh, wait, no, it's the Lee-Jackson Highway. Ah, heavens. I'm so sorry. How could I have made such an egregious error? And 81 North was stopped, I don't know, about 15 miles back, and I mean, just barely creeping along. So I got off the highway, and I asked, you know, whoa, there goes the recorder. I got off the highway and asked, is there a better way to do this than to be in the stop-and-go traffic? And they said, sure, take 11. And then my question became, well, why the hell doesn't everybody get off and just ask? Have a look around, because there were, you know, no shortage of people on the highway, just stuck in miserable traffic. So it really sort of is a parable, you know, and illustrates the other cool thing about story for me is how you can use a story about one thing to illustrate a point about another thing. You know, the idea being that just because everybody's doing something doesn't mean it's a good idea or it's the best way it can be done. There's just a lot of there's a lot of opportunity for doing the same old thing, just a little bit better. And a lot to be said for risking getting lost, I guess. But anyway, my friend Dale, these stories, I guess they go back to the salad days. I met Dale because he lived upstairs from a guy that I worked with named Andy. And we were both waiters, so we worked really strange hours. And And so did Dale, but he wasn't a waiter. When I would go out with Dale, and we would get the pain in the ass, well, what do you do for a living question, Dale had the best answer of any of us. Because he would just leer at the person and snap off, I'm a janitor. And that's partially true. He managed a facilities maintenance company that made sure that, you know, everything ran right in a really, really big shipping hub for a really, really big trucking company, who shall remain nameless because, as Dale described it, it was the most litigious ship in the shipping industry. So, you know, he'd make sure the place was clean and painted and stuff like that and ran a crew of guys at a really young age. So he was always up at odd hours dealing with things, too. So eventually I stopped hanging out with Andy, who was an interesting character, and wound up hanging out with Dale. And I'm kind of at a loss, and we talked about this last night, as to why we got along so well, why we do get along so well. We're not really a lot alike. I mean, we come from completely different backgrounds. We work in completely different industries. I don't know. We just sort of clicked. So one Christmas, it was around Christmas, I walk up to Dale's apartment, and I look in the front door, and there's a piece of yellow legal pad paper that has been taped to the front door with a piece of black electrical tape. And on the yellow legal paper is one word. It says wreath. I thought it was hilarious. But that wasn't really the funny part, because I walked in the door and I said, Dale, I love your wreath. And he said, you like that? He goes, yeah, I put it up from last year. I still think it looks pretty good. Funny guy, that deal. So, later on, I snuck into his apartment with another friend of ours and wrote the word tree on a piece of notebook paper and put it on the floor. And then we spent the next 10 minutes or so tearing off little slivers of paper and writing the word needle on them and sprinkling them all over the floor. Christmas, well, you know, came spring and then came summer. I was very poor. I had my first job, my first real job, kind of out of school, that wasn't waiting tables or anything like that. And I had an apartment, but the apartment didn't have air conditioning. It was a third floor of an old brick building, and it was really quite a nice apartment, except for the fact that there was no air conditioning. And Charlotte, it gets hot. But this summer was just hot for even Charlotte. Hot, humid, just awful. So what I would do when I got home is I would, from work, is I would take a shower and then to cool off. And then I would basically make some dinner or whatever and do some stuff for a while. Maybe take another shower to cool off. And then just fall asleep because it was so hot you just wanted to die. So eventually I took refuge with Dale, who had it was a room that was two outside walls and two inside walls, but the inside walls had glass doors to like this lobby and area, foyer, if you will, and the bedroom. So that was really the only room that had air conditioning, so he was living in there. So for like a week, it was like being a boy in a bubble with Dale, and that was a room, had two window units. So we just sort of hung out in there. And he was dating this girl at the time. This is funny. Named Suzanne. And he picked her up in a bar and brought her home. And she's not an unattractive girl. And basically, I get a call from Dale the night after this, or the day after this happens. And Dale goes, yeah, I think that girl stole all my clothes. And there's a lot of weird things that happen with Dale. There's a lot of weird things that happen with me. But, so I tried to proceed logically through this. I was like, well, did she steal all your clothes? And he said, no. She stole all my dirty clothes. And something called me away, and I thought about it for a little while. But what had happened is the girl basically took all of Dale's dirty clothes and took them to a laundromat and washed them. And then she sort of moved in for a while. And then Dale broke up with her and moved her out. She was just there a lot. But she just, like, showed up and started cleaning things and doing laundry and whatever. Anyway, so we're in the bubble, trying to make it through the heat, and watching a movie. And as I recall, it was The Shadow with Alec Baldwin, which is not a great movie to begin with, and it's not paced very well, so it needed all the help it could get. Well, there's a, you know, knock on the door, and there's Suzanne, and she wants to talk about this breakup. She wants to talk about this I don't want to be with you thing anymore. So she's kind of distraught and hysterical. And Dale, in his infinite eloquence, or let's say Daleloquence, says, you know how I just want a new car every 6 months? Yeah, this is kind of like that, which wasn't real smooth and didn't go over that well. So she goes away crying, and we start the movie again. That's unfortunate. I talked to Dale a little bit, and we laugh about the, it's like I want a new car every 6 months. We start the movie again, and I'm trying to get back into this thing, because like I said, and if you've seen it, you know it's not really that great of a movie, which is a shame, because those old Shadow stories are just chock full of pulpy goodness. Anywho, about 5 minutes in, there's another knock on the door. And it's her again. So this goes back and forth like 3 or 4 times. And finally, he just tells her to leave. We give up on the movie and go to sleep. Get up the next day, go to work. Well, I think it was that day, maybe the day after. Dale comes down one morning and finds her asleep on the porch. Not asleep in a chair on the porch. Not asleep in a sleeping bag on the porch. Just asleep on the doormat of the porch, which is awful. So Dale wakes her up. I'm pretty sure he didn't kick her. He just, I think, shook her shoulder. And she gets up and she sees him and she takes off running down the street. This is a true story. I would not write this. I mean, if I was really good, I would write it, but I couldn't make this up. She runs down the street and she jumps into a bush. So Dale is just trying to talk to her and to get her to come out of this bush. But she won't come out of the bush. So eventually he just gives up and goes to work. Oh. So that's kind of how it is with Dale. Jerky on a car trip. Peppered. Is there anything better than peppered beef jerky? So first time I meet Dale's mom, maybe the second time, we go up to their lake house. It's a house on a lake, in Smith Mountain Lake in Virginia. So she had been on this Jell-O diet, some strange thing. So she had all these boxes, different flavors of Jell-O, and there was Jell-O in the cabinets, and there was a couple Jell-O packets in the drawers, and there was like Jell-O one other place. But really, 15, 20, 25 boxes of Jell-O brand gelatin, which is a little odd. So I made the joke to Dale. You know, God, there's Jell-O all over this place. And then I took boxes of Jell-O, and this is a tiny, you know, tiny house, really, you know, two bedrooms and a main room and a kitchen, really well constructed, snug little place. And I started throwing Jell-O under the sofa cushions, and I put some Jell-O behind this picture, and I put Jell-O in a little, you know, thing that the TV was on, and I hid Jell-O all over this room. So later that night, we're sitting there, and I go to the kitchen, and I open up the cabinet. I'm like, you got a lot of Jell-O. And then I open up the drawer where the other Jell-O was. I was like, you got Jell-O all over this place. Well, I bet if I... And I just started going, I bet if I reached under the couch cushion, yeah, there's Jell-O there, and there's Jell-O in this drawer, and there's Jell-O all... And I just produced 15 or 20 boxes of Jell-O from around the house. That story was, but I'm going to reward myself with another piece of jerky. So, our friend Andy, the friend we had in common, was a fun guy. He was a pretty good guy, and he drank a lot, and he wound up having a pretty significant drinking problem. Last I heard of him, been in recovery for like, you know, 5-10 years. He's doing well, but he was really, really went downhill. I mean, to be fair, we all drank a lot back then, but he really had a problem. And having known some people who, you know, wrestled with that demon and are in recovery, and I have a lot of respect for it. But I'm still going to make jokes about it, because they make jokes about it too. But don't think that I don't appreciate that struggle, because I do, and honor it. Andy is at this lake house. This is before I ever met Dale, and met Dale's parents. So Dale had been away from his, kind of estranged from his family for a long time, and they're an interesting bunch. They're okay. It's a family, you know, these things happen. So he comes back, and he comes up from Charlotte with this guy, Andy. And Andy gets absolutely hammered. To be fair, there's a lot of drinking at the lake. But he decides to, Dale was passed out, he decides to, I think there were some mushrooms or something involved too, as I recall. Only I was dragging Dale with me to Pennsylvania. I'm sure he'd tell this part of the story better. So Andy gets really drunk and decides he's going to go buy some cigarettes. There's a little convenience store. This is like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning around the corner, but there's no way it's open at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So he gets the keys to Dale's car, which was this hopped up little Honda, and he takes off like a bat out of hell. And they go after him, and they find that he didn't even make it past the first turn. He just wrecked the car and flipped it over. Just totaled it. Totaled it. Destroyed the car. And in the process, he lost a hunk of one of his ears. I think it was just the top of his right ear. Anyway, so I know that, you know, it's bad to wreck somebody's car, but losing a piece of your ear and being disfigured, fair enough, learn your lesson. Anyway, so that's sort of Dale's parents' baseline for Dale's friends. And there were some other people, you know, that he associated with. And he had a checkered and troubled childhood. But strangely, he's very successful as an adult. Like, I think there's probably a correlation there. So Dale brings me around, and after like the second or third visit, his parents, or he explains to me that his parents have, you know, taken a liking to me, but for the first couple of visits, they were looking at me and trying to figure out what was wrong with me, because I was Dale's friend, and there obviously had to be something wrong with me. And there are things, you know, I ain't exactly right, but it's very funny. son. Welcome home. We haven't seen you in a while. Oh, here's your new friend. Nice to meet you. And we wrecked the car. Some pieces of jerky. Ridiculous. Only thing could be better is if they had bacon stands. Just fresh hot bacon by the side of the road. I'll take 4 pieces. Wrap them to go. Make thick slabs of bacon too, not the thin, shrivelly little ones being, you know, gourmet bacon. Gourmet road bacon. Somebody out there can have that idea for free.